Have you ever gone on a vacation just for the experience alone? A new location, a different environment, new attractions, unique cuisine, new foods, souvenirs. Vacations are awesome. They really are. We get out of our normal routine, and we get to experience new things, making memories to reminisce upon for many years to come. My wife Leslie and I wanted to do something special for our 20th and our 25th anniversaries, so we decided to go on vacation. We got to experience all those special things I've already mentioned about the benefits of vacations, but in our case, it was more than just a vacation. It was about her and me, united as one in marriage. So we did all those vacation things, but with the first in mind. As a matter of fact, you couldn't really call it a vacation because it was actually a celebration of our devoted relationship. All of the things that would make a vacation were secondary to that primary purpose. And if we did not achieve the celebration of that devotion, then the experience would have been only a vacation. Me doing my thing and my wife doing hers. Why? Why would it have only been a vacation if, after all, we still got to see a new place in a different environment with new things to see, new foods to taste, and souvenirs? Because the stated goal would not have been given its proper honor. And all of those things we did would have served to interfere with that relationship. Just for example, when in Italy for our 25th, that was our first, well, it was our second time overseas, Leslie might have wanted to go to the Vatican, while I wanted to go to the Colosseum. We could have gone our separate ways, eaten at different places, stopped off at different souvenir shops, and experienced all the good things one can experience on a vacation. But we would not have done it together. Our goal would have failed. What about the Feast of Tabernacles and the eighth day, the last great day? Are these days vacations? Are they observances for the purpose of having new experiences? How about spending more time with family? That sounds good. Sort of like we often hear for the reason people give for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Well, let's turn to Deuteronomy 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14. And let's find a fairly detailed description of what to do at the feast. Starting in verse 22. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. The tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil of the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But if the journey is too long for you so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires. For oxen or sheep, for wine or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires, you shall eat there before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice, you and your household. You might notice right away that the abundance reflected in the feast in the scriptures is about food and drink, because that is important to our existence. You know, we Americans, that happens every day. We don't even think about it. we're so blessed. But this is abundance, to be well fed and taken care of. Looking back at verse 23, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always, this comes from a word called Yare, number H3372 in Strong's. And it means reverence. Reverence. To revere God. So you may learn to revere God. Whatever your heart desires, that word for heart is nephesh, which is just a human, a physical flesh life. Okay? A breathing creature. That's what that means, in the physical sense. The eating before your Lord, eating before the Lord your God, that word for before is the concept of facing Him, looking at God. And He's not really, you can't really see Him, but the idea is that you are honoring God and showing Him homage, looking towards Him. In Deuteronomy, is explained the command to save a tenth of our increase of profit to eat, drink, and be merry. The command reveals it is good at this time to take a tenth and use it all up in about a 50th of the time you normally would. You got about 52 weeks, and this is about 1 week where you take a tenth instead of what would be five times less in your regular living. It's an improvement in your livelihood if we use the entire tenth for those 8 days. And of course, it's accompanied by the requirement that it be in the facing God for the purpose of learning reverence towards Him. Okay, so in 1 week, that's five times more than what's available through the rest of the year. So let's just simplify it a little bit. Think about when you pray before a meal. Okay, when you pray before a meal, you are going to God. You're paying Him homage, Him reverence, Him respect for providing what you're about to eat. And so the hope is that when you pray at that meal, you're also including Him in that meal. Okay, that's just a simplified version of what you're doing at the feast. There's a funny thing about us Christians, though, in reference to that scripture. We are not just equipped with a human spirit. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. This is when Peter was giving the sermon. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 7. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory." Okay, so we're talking about something that's normally hidden to us. Let's move on to verse 10. "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? Israel had this spirit, and God told them to rejoice in that spirit and have whatever their heart desired, whatever good things. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." How does having God's Spirit enhance what we desire? Have you thought about that when He says, "Do whatever you desire at the feast," and we having God's Spirit? Well, one desire the saints have is found in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, reading in verse 16. "But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And if we were to boil things down to what is in that heavenly country, if we were to just try to encapsulate what it is about that heavenly country that we wait for, we could safely say to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, as is referenced in Matthew 22:37. In Philippians, we are provided a beautiful expression of advice. Philippians chapter 2. In verse 1, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy, this is Paul writing, by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, which is good, look out for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. If you've ever been to college, and you may have even experienced this in high school, you might remember taking chemistry. In college, you would have gone 3 days a week, likely, an hour a day. So you'd be there 3 hours in the whole week, and you'd be lectured to and guided through a textbook so that you could gain knowledge in chemistry. You would have had homework that involved studying your notes and the textbook, and you would have been tested on your progress of knowledge. But that wasn't all you did. If you went to college and took chemistry, you would have also been required to take chemistry laboratory. This would be only one class a week, 3 to 4 hours at a time, all in one group. And instead of hearing lectures and reading the textbook, you would practice what you were learning. You'd learn about the clothing and the equipment and the chemicals, and you'd make the experiments, and you'd see what really happened. You'd be participating in it. Chemistry was a combination of knowledge and practice designed to help us retain the knowledge we gained and to see practical benefits of having knowledge in chemistry. We will have opportunities at the feast to gain knowledge from ministers and through the Bible, but we will also be given some of the best opportunities available compared to any other time of the year to practice that knowledge. We will have concentrated opportunities to worship in song and prayer. We will have way more opportunity to fellowship. We will have more opportunity to share our own abundance, including watching after the elderly, the widow, and the fatherless, the child who has only one parent with them. You may not, you know, it's possible they wouldn't have even been able to tithe. They're just barely able to be there on assistance or scrubbing some money together. And you can help them to have a better time and share time with you. I recommend, if you don't mind me being so bold, that we go to this Feast of Tabernacles and last great day, the eighth day, absolutely determined to accomplish whatever our heart desires. Whatever your heart desires. That heart being a converted heart, led and guided by God's Holy Spirit, seeking how we may show God our love and show love to our fellow man, whether they're brethren or whether they're strangers. We are the children of God, all in the same family, one body in Christ. So let's go to the feast with that as our highest priority. I'm convinced that time spent with our nuclear families and experiencing new things will fall right into place, just as they should, and with far more precious memories than just any standard vacation. Memory, but hopefully as we grow, it truly is better. All right, well, we'll go ahead and sing a